Welcome to the next episode of Untapped Gold Mines. My name is CJ Jeopardine, and I'm very excited to connect with you today and share a new way of collaborating. Now, this may not be new to you, but the way I approach it, maybe. So please stay tuned and listen in and see if there's anything that you can take away of value out of this brief introduction today. What I want to talk about is something called rapid prototyping. I put my own spin on this, but I am going to share with you the original sources where I take my inspiration from. And in particular, I cite Allen Interactions. They are the originators of this concept of rapid prototyping, where they've moved from ADDIE to SAM, which is learning and development or instructional design type of model. But I believe rapid prototyping is seen in every agile environment because it is very much an agile concept, an agile design, agile development concept. You will probably connect the dots between what I share and what you're doing today. But let's see if we can untap some other gold mines for you within what you're doing today, based on how I view this concept of rapid prototyping. According to Allen Interactions, so I'll start where the source of this comes from, there are three different phases in rapid prototyping. Phase one is the preparation phase, and that includes information gathering, like your traditional needs assessment, problem identification, etc., and the savvy start, which is a deeper discovery around what the solution might look like. So it's very much a discussion. Stage two is iterative design. And this is where you design, you prototype, you review, and you go in cycles with that, with the intent to properly plan the project and incorporate any additional design elements that might emerge throughout this phase. Stage three is iterative development phase. So this includes your design proof, the alpha, the beta, the gold. And throughout all of that, you're developing, you're implementing, and you're evaluating. So that aside, what I want to get into is like the nuts and bolts of each of these phases. So in the preparation phase, you're doing your traditional needs assessment, your problem identification, and this savvy start, according to Allen Interactions. Now, where I put my own spin on this is I would like to encourage the discussion of what we want to get after, what the solution might be, in some sort of visualized perspective. So in other words, as we are running through the needs, we're also creating a visual connection to those needs so that we can see them in front of us. Because when we see them in front of us, we have a much better way as a collective group. So the us equals whomever it is that's designing this prototype solution to all the stakeholders that might be impacted by it. And I would encourage that group to also include any end users of this product or service or asset, whatever it is, whatever artifact it is that you're creating. In this initial phase, this preparation phase, we're visualizing the conversation. And again, the main reason behind that is because when we can see what we're talking about, we can see patterns that we might not see when we're verbalizing what we're talking about. And this is really, really critical. And this is something that I've learned from all of my trainings with Cognitive Edge and my continued learning from Dave Snowden, as well as the folks at the Flow System. If we are bringing in that visual element and we're encouraging all of the people in the room to pick up on patterns and make better connections to the patterns, we can design a much better solution in the end. So this is phase one. There are many different ways that you can do this visualized needs assessment. There's tools galore. If you look at anything in the complex facilitation realm online, just Google it, complex facilitation, you'll find tons of ways in which you can actually visualize your needs assessment. And really, it comes down to gathering the narrative. What are the stories we're telling about this problem?
And why are those stories so important to us? And how are we interpreting those stories? And by visualizing this and creating a picture that we can pick up patterns with, we have a much better chance of really seeing the problem for what it is, or seeing other branches of the problem that we might not have seen before. So that's phase one. And that may take one meeting, that may take five meetings. And I believe strongly that it's quite important that you spend all of the necessary time you need in order to get all the narrative out, get a true visual representation of the problem itself before you move on to the next stage. Then the next stage is iterative design. The best way that I can describe this stage, and again, I'll encourage you to Google it. I'll share some links below where you can get your start. But this next stage is really the design stage. And this is about rapid prototyping the end solution. And there are a ton of different ways that you can do this. Design 2.0 is a methodology. Anything from IDEO.org, a methodology, tons of different approaches from the Cognitive Edge Group, complex adaptive design, a new emerging methodology that I subscribe to probably more than the others. And there's, again, many different ways that we can approach this. But in this stage, we are designing together what the solution will look like. And we're doing it in a visually representable way, because just like we did in the preparation stage, we want to be able to see what we're designing. And so this may be as simple as storyboarding something to actually creating sketches and piecing it together and breathing life into it. But we're visualizing what the solution might look like so that we can take a step back, look at it, and say, is this going to solve our problem? And what do we see as patterns or gaps that we wouldn't have otherwise seen if we were just talking about this solution and talking about what the design might look like and the end product might look like? So during this phase, we're designing, we're prototyping, we're reviewing. So we're putting together our MVP, which is minimum viable product version of this solution. I tend to lean on the side of minimum viable perfection so that I can put all of the things I think might actually be useful at this stage into the design. But I am going to try to keep it as lean as possible as well. You may keep it leaner than I might, where you're literally just doing stick figures and some dots and some squares and some triangles around the stick figures to represent certain things. And that may be enough for you and your group. I might go to PowerPoint or Google Slides or Prezi and even use Miro, for example, to mind map whatever the solution is. However you do it, the key here is to visualize this process and get all the key stakeholders in the room. And I may have said it before, but I'll repeat it again. The key stakeholders should also include yourself, the designer, the architects, the stakeholders, the decision makers, as well as the end users. We want a nice mix of all of these individuals, because they are going to be the people who at the end of the day agree together that this thing works for their needs. And we always have to keep in mind that what we believe will work today may not work tomorrow, because we're in a constantly evolving world. Change is happening every single minute of every single day. Any agent that interacts with in our systems, interacts with our solutions, is going to have a different view of what works well, what is tricky, what we need to do differently, and so on. So we're always going to be subject to what we do today may not work for tomorrow. I would also say that what we do today for this particular solution, for this particular group, may not work today for a similar solution with a different group. There will be different needs, and that is why it's so incredibly important that all the right people are a part of this second phase, this iterative design phase. Once you have come to a conclusion, and again, there's many different techniques that you can do this, but once you've come to a conclusion about what we're going to be designing that we believe will solve the problem, then we can get into actual design. And this is where we lean more into those kind of waterfall development processes where the decisions are all made. We are clear on the decisions, but we're much more clear than we would have been had we not gone through this iterative and collaborative improvement structure that we've created leading up to this point. But now we know what we're working on, we know what the solution end game will be, and so we can get into design. So we're going to design this, we're going to implement, we're going to run some tests. And keep in mind, we may decide in the iterative design phase, or phase two, that we like three or four of the solutions that we've come up with, and we cannot make a decision between them. If we have the resources, the third stage, the actual iterative development stage, we are going to bring all four in, and we're going to run all four through the implementation phase against different market segments or varying audience members or users or whatever we want to call the people that are going to interact with the solution. We're going to run experiments on each of these design ideas that we liked, each of these solutions that we liked in the previous phase. And we're not doing that for the intent to find one winner out of the ones that we chose. We're doing that with the intent to learn more from what is working well with each of the experiments and how we can combine the things that are working well together to create a new winner. And we might continue to experiment and test and experiment and test. And in Kinevin terms, probe, sense, respond. So we're going to probe with the solution. We're going to sense what is working well and which variables in which of these experiments, in these probes, are we seeing successes in? Where are we seeing failures that we might need to dampen or remove from the next design experiment or the next probes? And how are we going to respond? So again, it's a probe, sense, respond, probe, sense, respond, probe, sense, respond type of concept. And this is where if we've decided that we've got three solutions, for example, or four solutions that could actually work and we don't want to just narrow down to one and we have the resources to do that, this probe, sense, respond concept in the iterative development phase is going to be incredibly valuable to us. But it's all about creating a learning culture with the solutions that you've come up with. So what are we learning from these things as opposed to which one of these is going to be the winner? And it's a subtle shift, but it's an extremely important one. And if we can all get there when we are ideating, designing potential solutions, and delivering those solutions, if we think from that mindset that we're learning what's working all the time, and that once we've learned what works well and we've created the best possible solution, that may work for a while, but it isn't always going to work forever. So we're going to go back through this phase model and this rapid prototyping model and re-evaluate and redesign if we need to, and look at things from different angles all the time. And the more critically we can approach everything that we do, the more effective we're going to be in that. So again, I thank you for listening. I hope that there have been some untapped gems for you to take away from this particular session, and I look forward to our next episode together. Thank you and have a wonderful day.